Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Live from Houston, the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas, right here. The sun has gone down and it's dark, and we're entering into the fall season here, and you're here at my place, and welcome to my home, but more importantly, welcome to the program tonight. For the next hour, we just ask that you grab a cup of coffee, make sure you have a good and full soda or something, just sit back, and we're just going to have a couple friends who are just going to be talking this evening, but I guarantee you that you're going to be able to get something out of it that's going to make your life better, enrich you, inspire you, maybe encourage you, motivate you to make a different decision tomorrow. You got two guys that's just kind of gone through some issues in our lives, and we're going to talk about it this evening in a great way. Last week, we had an awesome show with Little Ricky and his book, Life After Lucy. He was just a great guest. We've had all kinds of comments and thoughts and emails and texts. And that was just great. It was interesting that I was watching Dick Van Dyke later on that evening. And I'll be doggone if he didn't come on that screen too. And it was just great to have him. In the next few weeks, we have some great guests. We have, just between me and you, in November, we have Alice Cooper. Is going to be right here. He has a youth center in Phoenix, Arizona, and they're going to be talking about that. That's going to be good. We have Dr. Bruce Perry that has a New York Times bestseller, The Boy Raised by a Dog. And that's, it's sold hundreds of thousands of copies, and it's on, I think, the New York Times list still. And he's going to be here. We have some just wonderful guests that's coming up. Gina Quinn's going to be here. From the Gina Quinn Law in Texas. And next week, I want to show you this picture because you won't believe this. Next week, we have Goldie Reed. And you're saying, okay, who's Goldie Reed, right? Let me just show you probably one of the most dramatic before and after pictures here. And we'll get back a little bit. This is her before when she was arrested. Back in 2005, I know the glare is kind of bad, and this is her now. She's written a book about her life, being involved in drugs, prostitution, almost every type of pain and trauma that you can dream of, she was involved in, and how things changed, and she gave her heart to the Lord, and things just turned around for her. She's going to come and share her story next Sunday night, live right here, 8 p.m. Central, on Breaking the Silence. We want you to make sure you're part of that. We would love to have, you know, we don't get lots of phone calls. I don't know if we scare you. I don't know if we bore you or what, but I would love to have your phone call, 888-627-6008. And you can call, and Doug will patch you right through. And we'll be talking to you live right here on the air. Or if you have a question, just tell Doug. Or if my son's on tonight with Facebook, I know he's in Illinois tonight with the funeral of his grandfather. He'll be coming back tomorrow, but I think he may be on our Facebook Live tonight. So if you have a question, call 888-627-6008, and we would love to include you in tonight's program. Our guest tonight has been here a couple times, I believe, and we've just enjoyed him. He's in the process of writing the book, and we'll let him tell us all about that. But he is the CEO and the founder. I always wanted to be a CEO of something. I don't know how I can do that, but I want to do that. CEO of worshipteamtraining.com and Worship Team Training University. And he also writes devotions and work for Faith Life, YouVersion. And who doesn't know YouVersion? Everybody uses YouVersion, Bible.com, and many others. He has an awesome blog, and he's just putting out content on the internet all over the place. And he's coming in tonight, Brannon Dempsey. Brannon, are you there? Welcome to the program tonight. Can you hear us?
I'm here, Greg. Thank you so much for having me on. Hey, everybody. It's a pleasure.
It's great having you. And just tell us a little bit about what you're doing, what you're up to, what is getting you out of bed in the morning, what you're passionate about. We have no you have no idea what we're going to talk about tonight, do you, Brandon?
We have no clue.
I feel like one of those magicians that come in and said, we haven't planned this, right? We have never met. We have never talked. You know,
that's but right.
No, you have no idea. We're just going to talk and have a good time. But tell me, Brannon, what's going on with you? What are you working on? How's everything going? And you're looking darn good.
Well, thank you. running every morning helps.
Oh, don't give me that. Don't start with that already.
To the refrigerator.
Oh, there you go. I'm with you.
Yeah. You have to look good when you open the door so you don't scare the lettuce or anything. Now, these are bad jokes. This is off to a great start so far, I can tell you. Since the last time I was on, I talked a lot about my pain and hurt from when I was sexually abused as a child. And that lasted all the way through junior high and high school. And that's something I know we'll talk about in other areas and get into that. But yes, I'm writing a book. It's called Facing the Shadow. It's not an original title by any means, but it means a lot to me because of the shadows that were in my life that suppressed me and chained me, locked the key, shut out the lights, and ripped my whole world away from me. So that book is... yes, it's new. I've only been writing it since the past 2 years, really. I had the idea came 3 years ago, but I wasn't quite ready to put it into words. And honestly, even though I started writing it 2 years ago, a lot of my own pain I was still struggling with, and just having to even think about things that had happened decades and decades ago, as you know, Greg, was just at the point where I was unable to really put that down into, it was hard to think about, but putting it down to words was something entirely different until my therapist and my mentors explained to me that the writing process, and Greg, you were there with me too, to encourage me. And I thank you for that. Just that the writing process itself is healing. And that's a lot of what I learned through the recovery of my abuse and my pain, was that writing, you know, and I've never been a big believer of it, which is funny too, because as what you say, that yes, people know me for worship team training, working with churches, working in music. That's what we do. We do workshops. We go to churches and train on music and leadership. The university is an online program in which we train worship leaders and teams that are the same that we see in the live format, but we put everything down in an on-demand format. And so most people don't know of my story because I've only been recently telling you. Right. And it's been freeing every time. And that's something that you will, if you haven't already experienced in your own walk, in your own recovery, it's hard at first. It's something that you can't put in the words. And I know that all too well. I couldn't put in the words, and I've hidden it and even lied about it for all these decades, because I thought if I just bury the pain enough, deep enough, far enough, and lock it away, maybe it'll go away. It never goes away. It gets worse because it's always wanting to surface. And the more you keep it down, the more turmoil you will find yourself in trying to fight your inner self of keeping something down that just wants to be free and just wants to be spoken. And so it took me years to even share this intimately. And I'm only doing it now because I realize it's not the number of years that you live in your life, but it has to do with the how tired are you of trying to keep up the fight, and how much are you wanting and the need to be healed. And a lot of the years of denial keeps you from that. And that's something that I had to learn. And now where I'm at, it doesn't take the pain away. The pain's always there, but you get better at the pain and you begin healing. And so this is something that I know there's a lot of people who haven't gotten this far, and there's a lot of people who have. And I know within the people that I lead and that I'm among influences, you know, now I'm starting to share my story, even on every show that I do of my own interviews. I talk about my pain when somebody else does, and I'll wait to see where they are. And then I'll volunteer and say, hey, this is what's happened to me. And, you know, now the more and more that I do it, it just feels like second nature. That's not to minimize, not at all, and not to make light of it, because it's hard. Like I said, it is so hard to talk about it. But I know that in that process, God brings me healing every time. And it's kind of like looking in the mirror at the things that are ugly to you that you don't want to see. If you look in the mirror routinely and you begin to get used to it, you begin to get better at the things that you see. And you also get better at the things you know you need to fix that you're in charge of. Wow. And that's the biggest thing I had to learn.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned something about pushing it down and thinking it would go away. Now, I'm going to mess up this quote, but Andy Stanley, and I typically don't listen to other ministers. I don't want it to influence where I go. But I was listening to some leadership podcast that he had, and you may have heard this, because he has great leadership training podcast. And he mentioned something about hurts, trauma, pain. When you push them down, we think they go away. But the quote that caught me was, they don't go away. Those demons go to the basement and lift weights.
Oh, wow.
And start working out. And when he said that, it was like, whoa. Because when it comes back up, it's 10 times more powerful and damaging.
That's so good.
It is good. I wish I had the correct. And he was quoting somebody else from another podcast that he had heard. And it's like, wow, that is powerful. They're downstairs lifting weights. And we think they're just going to fade away. It will not fade away. It will become cancerous and grow and be so damaging overall. So where are you at with the book, Brandon? How's it going? And
well, you know, I've got past the part of spelling my own name. I got that far. And I thought, you know, a little bit at a time, I can do this. Yeah. And I'm happy to say that I'm in chapter 12. I'm at the part of my life where the physical abuse had already happened and it's done. So now I'm at the crossroads of speaking about the emotional trauma that it caused. So it's just as difficult because, you know, it took me a year to write through all the physical abuse portion.
What was the hardest part about that, Brandon? There's thousands of people tonight and in the future that's going to be listening to your words. If we say, hey, journal, write, get it out on paper, it'll help you. But what's the hardest part? And I want to hear to see if it's the same as mine. What's the hardest part?
The hardest part for me was asking the question, is that really me? It was twofold. Was that me that that it happened to you, and then why would anybody else want to hear it? Why would anyone else care? And that was the, your answer may have been different. I don't know, but for me, I had to wrap my brain around the fact, because I've denied it for so long.
Mm.
And I thought, well, this isn't, I don't need to write about this stuff. I mean, maybe I can write about just the pretty parts of it, and I can make it palatable. Maybe I can make it look a little acceptable to people, and I really don't have to go there. But then that suppression came in, and my therapist reminded me, you have to, what was the phrase, and my publisher said it this way too, you have to bleed on the page.
Yeah.
And coming to that point, I realized that if I had to bleed on the page, there are still a lot more wounds that I had to go through first before I can even write. So what I wanted to do was, I could have taken it in stages if I wanted to, but I didn't. My approach was, look, if I'm going to bleed on the page, if I'm going to write up the things that I don't want to write about, that I don't even want to think about myself, I'm going to have to go deep back down through all this stuff again, just to make sure that I'm dealing with every part and the most ugliest parts that I don't want to look at. And I did that only with the help of the professional help of therapists. You cannot do this on your own. You can try, but you will eventually run out where you will find yourself, without the help and without somebody to champion you on, you will find that things will end rather quickly of your own authenticity and the honesty. You need to have people to keep you honest. You need to have people to remind you that you're not powerful enough to handle this on your own. You're powerless. And once I began to realize that, yes, I need help. I need to have people to bring me in the community. I need to have that professional aid to help me go there. Then once I was able to go to those places that I didn't want to go, I found myself healing even more. And then it no longer became about the book, because I thought that, you know, if I do this process, it will be okay. But what I found was there were more things to think about. There were more things that I thought that I healed from, that really I either just scratched the surface or maybe I just put it on the shelf for a while. So it became a very, very tough road, but a very beautiful one, where I was able to look at everything from a pragmatic standpoint and go, oh, well, then that's why that happened. And that's why I respond this way. This is the reason why I'm maybe not as in areas of my life where I've not shown full commitment. This is why. This is why I have a hard time communicating. This is a reason why I have a poor self-image. Mm. And the more that I came into grips with those things and learning it, then through that healing, then I was able to process it better, walk it out in real life first, and then write about it. So
we have about a minute before we take our first break, but what do you mean by the line? Because I think the first part of the answer to what was the hardest part was, is it really me that you were writing about? What do you mean by that?
Well, because of so many years of that pain suppressing that I've done, I didn't want to believe that those bad things had happened to me.
You were perceiving, Brandon, because this is really important, because I've talked to lots of people. Was it like you was watching somebody else's life?
Yes.
You know, Terry Welbrook, a friend of mine in Ohio that has a wonderful podcast, The Healing Place, a great, great lady. I think she may have moved to the Carolinas now, but she was in Ohio, mentioned that she knew that healing was taking place when she moved out of the bird's eye view to where she was in it and it was happening to her. And that's an unbelievable transition. So when you said that, I narrowed in on that, like, whoa, that's important. I want to talk about that, and then I want to talk about the importance of transparency. We've talked about this, I know, 20 times, other guests, but I want to hear your side of what, how important is it to be absolutely transparent now with everything?
Yes.
So don't leave us. Be right back. We'll be right back about a minute and 13 seconds on the other side of this first commercial break for another segment of Breaking the Silence. We'll be with Brandon Dempsey. Be right back. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life, and this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. Welcome back. We have a wonderful guest tonight, and Brandon, you're closing on a new house. Where is that new house going to be? Not address, but what city is it going to be in, Brandon?
Well, we're in Austin, Texas, and we're staying.
Austin, Texas.
That's right.
Okay. Well, Austin's a pretty good town. It's in the top 10.
It's the best town.
Oh well, we'll talk later.
We will.
So, how's your pro football team doing there?
Everyone's wearing masks.
Okay.
What do you, I mean, you know, come on, football with a mask?
You know, tell you what, I don't have anything prepared. I just have some thoughts, and I want to find out, and you've already hit on one, so I really just want to talk like we do on the phone a lot.
Yeah.
I'll be walking down the hallways of the hospital, and you call, and we'll just talk about anything, and I love that, because I don't have too many people in my life that I can just chit-chat with like that, and I appreciate that, Brandon. But tell me the importance of being transparent, transparency piece in this whole, not only with therapy, but in who you are now.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming I'm looking at a person that has taken the mask completely off, or can you be honest enough with me, is there still pieces that you haven't let anybody in on? Because there is with me. And I said that in the first book. I'm going to say it in the second book. And maybe the third book, I'll finally get the backbone to say, okay, this is the complete story. There's still a piece that I haven't.
For me, I mean, there will be a second book for me in which I'll divulge more. But the way my therapist put it and publisher is that it's better just to kind of build as you go, and you want the story to be authentic, your story. You don't want it made up, and it doesn't mean that you need to give everything all away, but you want to build credibility with people and identify with people's pain, and that has a lot to do with being transparent. And so in the book, I'm transparent about everything that has happened to me when I was a child all the way up through school. And that's the hardest part, because it's the, you know, when I was going through the pain, the physical part of it, I had the outer body experience where I felt like I was out here disconnecting myself, because I felt like that was another survival tool, and that I could be okay out here. And that's and you hit that point on why I felt this way even here, to try to reconnect things. But when you reconnect things, it has to be through transparency. It has to be through honesty, where you put it this way: when pain happens, you have to go deep into the occurrence, and the transparency has to come out. But it doesn't mean that because you're being transparent with a trusted source, with someone who loves you, you need to have that transparency with them first and foremost. You need to have transparency, especially with the therapist or counselor that you're working with. Otherwise, nothing gets worked on. Nothing gets deeper than the surface. And
Brandon, at first, did you try to baloney the therapist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
I did, too.
Yeah.
It was like, nah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the way I thought he wanted me to answer.
You know, honestly, if you get right down to it, for the first good part for a number of years, I lied to my own therapist, because I just thought, you know what? He doesn't need to go into those dark places because I don't want to go and I'm not ready to. So therefore, if I'm not ready, I can just tell him what I want. And that was part that delayed, not only delayed the healing, but it damaged my transparency with him. It damaged the transparency for myself and for those who love me, because I wasn't being real. I wasn't being real.
So you would come out of those, because if you're like me, you would come out of those and go, oh, it worked really well.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, it was great. You know, we had a great talk. We talked about mom and dad, and that was it. And if I could just stay focused on this one topic, but that's a classic example of denial. And in that first cycle of not going deep enough to deal what's underneath. And so what transparency is for me is freedom.
Yeah.
Transparency equals freedom. I've never been any more transparent, of course, in my life. I've never felt more freer in my life. I said this on the last time on your show, that I feel like, this is funny, not only do I feel like I'm 6 years old again, living the life that God intended now, but now it's kind of weird. Now I feel like I'm moving up in years. Now I feel like for a while I was moving up to 7, 8, 9 years old, and now I feel like I'm at 12 years old again. I feel like I'm at 12, actually living the life of freedom and walking in hope, walking in transparency and intimacy with others. And the reason why the transparency and intimacy is so great and why it's so powerful is because it unlocks those other relationships that want to be connected with you. People want to know you. They want to, maybe you don't, like I said before, you know, it doesn't mean that you tell everybody on the street your pain. I think that you need to get to a certain level of your life where maybe if that is okay with you, then you do it. I mean, Greg, you do that very well. So everybody has their own way of handling their own trauma and their pain. And there's a lot of people that are not ready to do that, and that's okay. But you want to get to the point where it is okay, where you can become a little bit more transparent a bit at a time, where then it's almost like a second nature where it's natural. So for me, it's unlocked relationships, again, restored. It's brought a lot of healing with those that I love and love me. And I don't have to worry anymore about trying to keep things up or put up a front or the lying or the hiding or not going there. I don't have to worry about that anymore. And what I realize is that it takes more work to keep up the facade. It takes way more work and way more anxiety and stress rather than, you know, just to confront it, which is hard. That's probably even, it's hard to say which is harder, but when you finally confront and embrace the pain and say, this is me, this is what's happened to me. You know, there's that freedom that exudes where in my experience, it was like jumping off a cliff and I was like, wow, I did it. I actually said the unthinkable. I actually said that this was me instead of lying about it. And it feels so good to talk about that hurt and pain. And, you know, and I've said this before too, the most valuable people in my life that never have to question it would be my wife and my children. And the best thing of it all is that my children, and I pray often, daily, that they'll never have to experience the same pain that I did. And they have a father who is real about what happened to him. Yeah. Now, I haven't had that conversation yet because they're young. And it doesn't need to happen yet because they need to get older. But when it does, I will be at peace and at home with myself because I know I'm going to be giving valuable information to them to help safeguard their life in hopes that they will have tools, that they will develop because hopefully they won't go through that, but they'll develop skills, life skills, and good choices of what to do if scenarios were to find them or, you know, choices that they have to make that they can do it from a mature standpoint. And then hopefully if they ever do get hurt, God forbid, if something ever tragic does happen, that they've learned from mom and dad how to be transparent and real where they can come to us and say, hey, this happened. And then we can address it right away. Because I will tell you, I didn't grow up with those kind of parents. I didn't grow up with the transparent parents. I grew up with parents that were like, you don't talk about this. You don't bring shame to your family. This is repulsive. And either you're in sin or something's wrong with you. Or the worst part that I got from my own father was that your pain is not real and it doesn't exist. And that right there is what kept me in the shadows all these decades and from telling the truth. And now I finally faced it.
You know, I tell you, I believe there's people that's listening right now that should be allowing the baggage to slide off their back that they've been carrying. And transparency is the key. And we had a great guest on, and he's the one that I mentioned. I want him to on your show, James Brown.
Yeah.
A wonderful friend of mine, and he talked about there's a difference between transparency and honesty, because I can tell you things, but if I don't tell you everything, I can still be deceiving.
You can still be honest.
Absolutely, and it ends up becoming to where you're still playing the game. And I think the transparency is something that is so important. And there's people out there, and a lot of people will write or text and say, "Greg, how did you? What's the first step?" And the first step to me is name it, say it,
right?
Just blurt it out. And if you have to, if you're in a room by yourself, I was sexually abused. I am an alcoholic. I'm a drug abuser. I'm dependent on this, or I'm involved in this, and just blurt it out. And once you blurt it out, you go, oh, wow. Okay, now I don't have to hide it. What do I do about that? How do I deal with that issue? And who can I trust with that?
Well, I think that's the biggest thing is not only who can I trust, but who can I tell?
Yeah.
I will tell you that there is a person who I deeply love that I was in a conversation with just 3 days ago. And within those 3 days, this person was attempting suicide with me on the phone and threatening that they would actually do it. And I have said the words, you need to talk about your pain, because the person was not telling their spouse was not just holding up walls. And I mean, for decades, I'm talking all their life and older than me. And as I was trying to encourage them to talk about, find someone to get professional help, then what came back was, well, I don't want to do that. And in their tears, as they were trying to work through, probably the first time that they told anybody, happened to be me, but they had said, the reason why I'm not talking about my pain is that I have no one to tell my pain to. And that sparked a huge idea for me, an aha moment, that there's so many people that have this pain of the, whatever the experience that they've been in, like you've already named, Greg. And maybe the issue is not, well, it's kind of weird. It still is, the issue is you still need to tell somebody. But I think the other issue is that you, when you're not transparent, you close off every relationship in your life.
Absolutely.
You close off everybody because you don't want anyone to know. And all that does is re-insulate that pain. And then what comes out is that, well, I have nobody to talk to, because you put yourself there. And you're only in that place because you made those choices in life of to bury and suppress it for various reasons, no matter how legitimate they may be, and no matter how heartfelt they are, which we understand that's real, but you damage yourself. And then you get to the point where you can't speak about it because you cut off everybody. And that is the worst. That's the worst feeling I know, because I've done that.
Yeah,
I've done that. That's why
we build the walls, and then we wonder why we're on this side of the wall by ourselves.
That's right. And I had nobody to blame but me, but I had nobody to tell my pain about because of me. And I had to work through that. And that's
Did you go through a stage of when you were on this side of the wall and you built all these walls?
Yes.
Or insulation or whatever around you. Then you're sitting there and go, I want to tell somebody. And then self-pity comes in. There's nobody that loves me.
No,
nobody cares.
And the problem with all this is that it's fabricated, and it's like tentacles and spider webs in all your life. So therefore, when you're that way, you can't be honest with people at work about maybe coming in late and you don't want your boss to find out, or you left early, or you were taking care of personal business, or whatever it may be. And then what happens is your boss doesn't know what's going on deep within you like you do, but your boss may know you to not be trustworthy. Your coworkers may not understand you, but they may think that you're kind of closed off to relationships. And then you talk about family members, people who know you and your family may not want to come to you with things. And then you think to yourself, why don't they come to me? Because throughout your life, you pattern yourself throughout life of making choices that try to elevate you, is what it comes down to. Because pride takes a hold, and that's the reason why we don't want to tell anybody, because I'm not that person, and I don't want to talk about this, and I'm going to keep this at distance because it's pride that's keeping you. And pride was the biggest thing that God had to break of me to go there.
Oh, absolutely. And me too. I mean, pride is the original sin.
And it's until you let that pride go is when you realize that you're utterly powerless. Because there's no power in you. And you have to come to that point where, you know, quit blaming God, quit blaming everybody else for your mistakes, quit blaming everybody, even, you know, that can only go so far where you have to say, okay, I'm done trying to play the blame game. And there is legitimate hurt. And I'm not speaking the same, let me just make this very clear. When I say blame, I don't mean the blame that you put that on your abuser. That's not what I mean, because that's an uncontrollable circumstance that you were powerless and that broke you. That is not the same. We're talking about blaming others and blaming yourself of not being transparent, but that's not the same thing as when people break, you know, when they shatter you, it's not the same.
Wow. You know, I tell you what, you said blame. Look down here on this list I have here. It says we're going to talk about blame if we can't figure out anything.
Well, you know,
that's a major, major game that we play, and we blame ourselves. And we got to get over that. Yeah, go ahead.
I think what for, you know, Dr. Leachy is a wonderful man that's up in Dallas. I got to get him on your show, by the way. And I want him to come on mine, too. But he talked about how blame and shame is like a bicycle. It's a cycle. So when, you know, when you're doing the blaming, it's because you're the one shaming. You're shaming yourself. It just goes round and round. And I really believe that shame is another violator in your life that keeps you down. That shame is the one that keeps you pinned down from saying anything, from speaking the truth. And how do you get out from shame? It's there's small little steps of I guess, you know, it's admittance. It's like, well, I'll just talk about my experience. Instead of shaming myself like I would, I had to say, wait a minute, this abuser, this violator was not my fault. I can only shame myself for something that I want to own and claim responsibility of, but you can't be responsible for other people's trash.
Right.
You can't be responsible for other people who want to hurt you. You're not responsible for that. That's not your fault. And when I realized, you mean, that's not because that happened to me, even when I was young, I was defenseless, because when you're a child is not built with adult defense mechanisms and tools where they can make decisions for themselves. Children cannot think for themselves. So if that happened to you, like it did with myself and Greg, you're a child. You're programmed in the way of not speaking up. You don't want to, there's the fear of disappointment of parents. There's the fear of rejection. There's all these different built-in fears that no one's walked you through as a child to say, it's okay that this happened because that's what it is. And that's the real problem. That doesn't hit us until we're in our 40s, 50s, 60s, and some people not even longer. So I had to say, with the help of professional guidance, to say, you know what, that did happen. It wasn't my fault. And yet the shame that I feel is caused by me, is caused by other people in my life who tried to shush me and keep me down. Oh, don't you talk about your pain. No. That's just as much as the violation. You have to talk. And I don't know where it came from in our day, hundreds of years ago, that said, well, you can't talk about, you know, this because it makes you a nut. You can't talk about these things because of, well, why not? Because you know what I found is that the people who tell you not to talk about those things is because those are the same people who have pain and hurt in their life. They don't want to talk about it.
Absolutely. We're going to stop right there and take our last commercial break. I know you've hit a nerve or two with people and inside of them that they may want to get involved in the conversation. 888-627-6008. Call in with a question or a comment. If you have something that you're dealing with right now and you haven't broke the silence, how do you do that? If you want to ask or anything that particular on your life or on your heart and mind, feel free to call 888-627-6008. And we'll be back right after this last commercial break for the final segment of Breaking the Silence with Brandon Dempsey. Be right there.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back, and shattered by the darkness. I'm just checking the Amazon page. I'm getting ready to maybe hit into the top 100. So this one's going pretty good. Yeah. This one's getting ready to come out. And even though the commercial just said there's all kinds of other stuff, we're going to have a companion journal with this, and then the team version that's going to be When the Dark Clouds Come. I think I'm getting more excited about that to show – hey, what happens with what the kids are going through? Kids need this help now, and it's going to teach them also how to journal. When you was talking about authenticity and transparency, boy, I'm going to put you on the spot, but I'm preaching to myself. How important is it in the marriage?
Oh, it's everything.
It affects the marriage when you're not real, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Because you're not sleeping with the real person. You're sleeping with a fake. I mean, that is a...
I know that's a whole other show.
Yeah, it is.
We have never gone there, and I don't think we've ever gone there personally. But I just wanted to throw that out because it does. We end up playing the game.
Because how could I say that I love my spouse if I don't love myself first, to be transparent? I can't. Then it's not real love that I'm showing her. And then how do I expect her to be transparent with me if I'm too prideful to be transparent with her?
And you know, in my case, I couldn't love myself because of all the, the junk that I was told. And how can I love anybody? How can I let anybody in when I think I'm nothing? And that's a huge transition to have to make.
It is huge because you have to love yourself to allow other people to love you. And that was hard for me for all my life. And my wife is my best friend. She is my flesh and blood. And that really... When I began to get serious and to emotionally, physically deal with everything, it opened up a new world like I've never known with my spouse, with my wife, because, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, here it comes. Let's see what she thinks now. Like, okay, I want to talk about this, and man, I don't really want to. But when I saw nothing but empathy and acceptance through, though it was extremely difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Then the first thought was like, wow, she's still here. She's still here by choice. She didn't have to be. And I think that's...
Did you ever think with what happened to you as a child and in your teen years, that it made you unlovable?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If they knew who you really were?
Absolutely. Yes. I felt unloved by my own family. I felt unloved by relationships and people around me. I felt constant rejection. I was always looking over my shoulder. I felt like I couldn't, I had to compete for other people's attention. Even through school, I have dear friends of mine that probably thought I was weird or a nut job because I couldn't be real for whatever that meant. But I had things to hide. And yeah, in their eyes, I could see why, because due to me not being transparent, I didn't have the life skills either to really deal with that as an adult.
So how did you overcompensate? If you felt unloved, what did you do to make people love you, even though they probably would have if you just was real?
Yeah.
Did you do anything to overcompensate them for
Of course, yeah. I mean, I did everything from trying to be the cool kid, to hang out with cool kids, to even socially drink, socially do drugs, just so that I can gain their acceptance and approval. And everything from that to being over outgoing through sports or music, anything that I can do, even just being exhaustively codependent in relationships to try to get people to accept me. But yet deep down, I didn't want them to accept me. That was the weird paradox, is that I wanted the attention, but yet I didn't want it at the same time, because I didn't want anyone to know. But that's also the inner child that I needed that adult love from my parents to say, I'm going to save you out of this and you're going to be okay. That's really what I needed. And that was, and not having that is what drove me to search for it elsewhere. And yet I was never, what I reciprocated.
Yeah. In changing gears a little bit, how important was the issue of forgiveness in your world with what had happened to you? And then forgiveness of yourself for not dealing with this sooner. And maybe the damaged relationship. Yeah. Between those tapes, what kind of importance is that chapter of forgiveness in your life?
Well, it was extremely important to forgive, because I had to move forward, and I was only hurting myself by having anger. That was rightful anger at first. It was right to be angry.
Absolutely.
Was right to, even though I went through many years of depression. And it wasn't right to, of course, it wasn't maybe right to go through, to be depressed, but yet it was a human response. And I had to give myself permission to feel it and to feel the shock of it and to feel the pain, because that's what I suppressed for so long to keep away from. And that's ultimately what keeps us away from dealing from our pain, because we don't want to feel the hurt of it. We don't want to feel the emptiness and the very pain we felt as we did when it occurred when we were younger or whenever it happened. So forgiveness of my abuser, that was a difficult road, and it still is. I still have to forgive every day. I still have to forgive every day my abuser and forgive myself, like you said, for not coming sooner. And I also asked God to forgive me for the damage that I caused to others by not coming forward more sooner or becoming transparent. And and it's not about beating yourself up. It's easy to do that. But then when you do that, you find yourself back into that cycle again of anti-transparency and pride and all that. Because that's what it keeps you from. I don't believe in the thing of letting things go, because it just doesn't work that way. But it's, everything's a process. So through a process, forgiveness is a process. It's not a, well, I forgive them and I'm done. No, probably you haven't forgiven them if it's that quick and that easy. It's a life process, and it's still a process for me. But it's a beautiful one, because I already know I'm forgiven, and I know because Jesus forgave me, I can forgive my violators and my abusers. But are there days that I don't feel like forgiving them? You bet there are. Are there days where I feel like the pain is so thick that I'm just filled with hatred? Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm still feeling the reverberations of all that trauma that it caused from so long ago. But when I walk in transparency, it's because I'm walking in humility. And I think humility, God showing me what true humility is by transparency and openness and forgiveness, then I'm able to live a bit more every day, and I'm able to heal a bit more every day. So it's the healing itself is, I mean, all of it is the, it is a process.
You mentioned in that answer there, depression. What kind of, we only have a few minutes because this hour has just flown by,
yeah.
But what kind of depression did you go through?
Well, a depression of, I hate myself for what happened, and see, no one loved me, and this is what the person that I trusted did to me. The depression was also the, as I got older, the fighting that I talked about earlier of keeping down the truth and keeping down the pain and burying it. I was depressed going through that because I was afraid that no one wanted to hear me anyway. And I had a hard time loving myself through it. I didn't love myself. Even though I've been in ministry, even though I've led worship, even though I work with pastors and I'm with all, you know, holy people, I didn't feel holy. I felt far from it. And I felt like everybody else in the room is being fake also. But yet, it was that my position to call it out? No. I had to work on my stuff. But, you know, for a long time, I wasn't ready to work on my stuff. I just thought, well, maybe if I can just be a good Christian, that will go away. False. Doesn't work that way either. It's about being, I don't think it's about being a real or good Christian. I think it's just about being an honest human being. I think it's about that our human need is to love God, is to have God fill us with his love. That's a natural need, but that natural need was damaged.
Yeah.
By somebody else that I had to have help to rebuild. And now that I have, and I'm still working on it daily, I know I'm beginning to understand every day how much of a gracious God and a healing God and a merciful God that he truly is.
Absolutely.
Therefore, and when I don't feel like it, I can still learn to walk in humility, walk in healing, even when it hurts. And I know that when I do that every time, it's like, you know, I'm getting stronger, but I have to keep doing that. You got to keep moving forward.
In the last 30 seconds here, Brandon, if you had 30 seconds, what would be the one thing that you'd want somebody to hear if they're listening right now and they haven't dealt with this? They've experienced it, but they haven't faced it. They haven't faced their own shadow. They haven't broke their silence yet, taking both of our book titles. What would you say to them in a 30-second, this is what you need to do right now? What would you say to them?
You need to understand that you're loved and that you have people in your life that deeply care about you and what you've been through, and that what you have been through is not your fault. What you've been through was reckless and was broken and was stolen from you, but you have your human right, every right to reclaim that life back that was stolen and taken from you. And with God's help, he can walk with you through those healing processes to make it easy. But it does begin by acknowledging it now, admitting it now, and finding somebody right now to talk about it.
Wow, that's good. I tell you what, Brandon, if somebody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to get in touch with you and just say a word of encouragement or just ask you a question or just what's the best way?
Absolutely. You can email me, Brandon@worshipteamtraining.com. There's another one that's easier. Brandon, and you spell my name, Brannon, at WTTU.co. And if you want to text me, 281-734-3688.
Fantastic. With Brandon, tell you what, my friend, it was great being with you tonight. I had no idea, but we could have done this for another 3 hours and never taken a breath.
Yeah,
I just appreciate it. And I want to be honest with you. I know we're almost getting ready to get cut off, but I will be honest with you. I see a different you than what it was the first time we talked on the show.
Yeah.
The clarity is just becoming you. And it's beautiful. And I appreciate you sharing your heart. I can't wait for to be. I want to be the first one to get the book. the Bible book when it comes out, and let me know.
It's a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
Hope to be on your show here soon. And we always like to just let you know, thank you. And if there's anything that we can do for you, let us know. Brandon, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Greg. It's a pleasure.
You bet. We always like to close the program out with letting you know that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're dealing with in life right now, I want to promise you there is always hope. Join us next week. We have our guest, Gody Reed. We'll be here live at 8 p.m. from the beautiful city of Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome week, and God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.